it's useless. But you and I know, we know Jesus today. If it wasn't for that lighthouse, what kind of darkness would we be in today? Now, you don't really know how important a lighthouse is unless you've been on the ocean. And I've been privileged to be on the ocean several times. And lighthouses anymore, because of navigation, GPS, and all that kind of stuff, they're not as used anymore. You don't have to have a light somewhere. But not too many years ago, we was in Florida, and there's still a lighthouse in this one area that we go to. It looks like it's run down. And I was talking to a local person. I said, does the light still come on at night? He said, yes, it does. I said, well, in the modern age of, you know, all of technology today, he said, why is it there? He said, well, believe me, not every person out there with a boat has a GPS. See, modern technology is wonderful, but not everybody has it. And he says, all it takes is one little boat, one little person in it, that this lighthouse can save, and it's worth the bulb to go to it. Well, that's exactly the way we are with Jesus. In the modern world we live in today, people say, who ever heard like that? Salvation, cross, grace. We don't live in that world anymore. What are you going to talk about something that happened 2,000 years ago? We're in modern times. We may be in modern times, but seeing sin. Thank God that there's still a person who needs Jesus across this globe. Because the word will be preached until the last person walks the aisle and gives their life. Gives their heart to the light called Jesus. Thank God for the lighthouse. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, we're going to finish up chapter 2 in the book of Revelation today. We're going to look at another congregation, another church. Again, this church is doing some good things, but they're allowing some leaders in the church, they're allowing some teaching to go on in the church that Jesus doesn't like. Going to be another warning given. We're going to see exactly what this is about. Look at Revelation chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 18. Now, this church is pronounced several different ways. I'm going to pronounce it five times. That's close enough. Is that close enough for you? Would you pronounce it any different way? Let's just use that for the conversation. Unto the angel, unto the pastor, unto the leader of the church, and Thyatira, write. These things saith the Son of God. Here's the identification where this is coming from. These are coming from Jesus, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like the fine brass. In other words, Jesus is the final judge. He is the Holy of Holies. Basically what this is saying. Here's this phrase again, I know thy works. I want to make sure as we see this phrase that you understand one thing. Jesus knows everything about you. I don't care what you do, when you do it. Daylight, dark, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't care where you're at, I don't care if you're in church or if you're in a bar. I don't care what you do. Jesus knows everything that you're doing.
Amen.
And yet still loves you. Is that a miracle? I mean, it's nobody else's business what we do, but somehow or another God says, it's my business what you do. It's my business where you go. It's my business what you say. I know what you're doing. I know how you live. And yet, I still love you. It doesn't mean you're going to get out of judgment. But I want you to see something here. When we get into this congregation, into this problem that he has with them, I'm going to break this down so you understand that no matter what you're doing, you still have time to repent. You still have time to repent. You still have time to repent. Although there's a time coming when that's going to stop. Understand, repentance and salvation still that message is going forth around the world today. Give the Lord a hand of applause. I know thy works and charity, the love that you show, and the service and faith and thy patience and thy works. And the last be more than the first. Look at all this that you're doing. Isn't this great? They love. They serve. They have faith. They have patience. Man, wouldn't that be something to be greatly said about Cove Baptist Church and its flock and its membership? Wouldn't this be great to say? I know how much you love. I know the service that you give me. I know the faith and the patience. How great would that be? It doesn't get any better than that. For the Lord to say that about a congregation or about a church. Now, understand me this. If you love, you live for the Lord, you have faith, Lord knows you better have patience. Because it's going to take patience to serve God, because every day is not going to be a good day. Every day is not going to be a good day. There are going to be challenges in your life. If you live long enough, you're going to see plenty of them. Every day there's a challenge. Because Satan is not going to leave you alone. And you shouldn't be surprised at that, because God's word tells you that all over the place. Satan's not going to leave you alone. But no matter what, all of the same messages goes throughout all of these seven churches. Stay faithful to the end. Stay faithful to the end. Stay faithful to the end. And if you'll stay faithful, I promise you it'll be worth every problem, hurt, anything you've had to deal with in life. If you stay faithful, I promise you it will be worth it when you see Him face to face. Isn't that great? Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, let's get to the problem. Brother Larry. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Here's that phrase again. You're doing a good job. Some in the congregation are doing a good job. Some are faithful. But we've got a problem. Here's the problem. Because thou sufferest the means you go on, that woman Jezebel. Just that name alone, just sort of. Jezebel. Woo. Just that name just gives you some problems. Which calleth herself a prophetess, preacher, leader, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, whether or not this is a real name or whether or not it's a comparison to the Jezebel, which was a real person in the Old Testament. Oh, you're talking about a wicked queen. This lady was speaking word. I'm not going to get into all of that, but just to say this. This lady did everything she could to seduce any man that came all over the place. And then, not only would she seduce him, then she'd have him killed. Oh, this was a wicked individual. Now, here's what this says. You are allowing yourself to be thought for this woman. Well, since she's called Jezebel, we'll just say her name Jezebel at the moment. Which calls herself a prophet. Now here's what this means. The church is allowing this teaching to go on inside the church doors. And allows this person to be a member within the church doors doing things that are contrary to the word of God. Are you with me so far? Say amen.
Amen.
So you've got part of this church that's doing some of the great things. Faithful, giving, serving. But somehow or another, the leadership of the church is allowing another part of the church to sort of just do their own thing. And allowing it to be taught within the church. You with me so far? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Let me break it down for you. To teach and to seduce servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, simply to understand, since we have children in the audience here, I'll try to make this in as simple way as I can. In the world in which this church, in the Greek culture that was there, anything that made you happy or gave you pleasure was okay outside of the church. The problem was it was allowed to come inside of the church. teaching that basically, you know, anything that gave you pleasure, you could do it. Some teachers have even said that maybe it was even done within the church doors. You with me so far? Say amen. I got children in the audience, so just understand what I'm trying to say. Now, not only because she would say, look, if it gives us pleasure, God goes along with it. Can you believe that? So anything you do that gives you pleasure, God's going to say, that's okay. That's wonderful. Now you can take that and run with it all the way you whatever gamut you want to run with it today. Okay? Now, as silly as that sounds, and as graphic as that sounds, it's hard to believe that that was allowed in the church. But it was. So he said, this is going to stop. And it's going to stop now. Now, this thing of sacrifice to idols, we all know what a sin that is. We are to worship nothing but a living God, and we are to worship nothing but Jesus. Now, in this day and time, idols, in that type of Greek culture, was all, teaching was all, you know, they worship statues and everything else, and they'd come and sacrifice animals to this statue and whatever, and then afterwards they would sell the meat. And God's word certainly says, if you eat of that meat, you're saying it's okay to worship idols. And so the rule was, you don't do that. You don't, in other words, you don't condone that. You with me so far? Everybody said amen? Okay. So he said, you're condoning that too. You know, you're having a potluck supper and you're bringing it from the idol worshipers. That's just ridiculous. Now, he lays that teaching out and says, this is wrong. But I want you to see something as we get a little deeper into this. Just because something's wrong doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Look what happens here. Verse 21. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. I gave her space. No matter what you're doing in life that's against God, you've been given space to turn it around. Given space means you've been given time. Right now, as you sit here for this congregation, for this church, before the end of the service, you're going to have an opportunity to make things right with God. But there's going to come a day that this opportunity will be gone. God is still in the forgiving business. I don't care what you've done, at what level you've done it. God will forgive you and love you if you will turn it around and ask for forgiveness. Now, how much of a miracle is that, folks? Do you understand what I'm saying and what the scripture is saying? It says, I gave her space to repent. Now, how awful would this be to allow this to go on? And yet God says, I still love Jezebel if she will turn it around. So no matter what you've done, he loves you if you will repent, if you will ask for salvation, and if you will believe in Jesus, he will forgive you. That is still the miracle of the day. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And she repented not. It's a shame to say that there are people today that have been given every opportunity on the planet to repent, and they won't die. They won't die. He says, behold, since she will not repent, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their sins. This is a fancy way of just saying this. Let's do it closely. We're all going to be held accountable for what we do. Is that simple? Are you with me?
Amen.
Just don't make this any harder than what it is. You're going to be held accountable. I'm going to be held accountable for what I do. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to lose my salvation if I'm saved, but I am going to answer. But if you do not accept Jesus Christ and repent of your sin, whatever that may be, if you don't do that, then the Bible says you're lost. And you're lost for eternity. And you're lost till Satan's hell. He says, I gave her every opportunity. But now comes judgment. Here's going to be the worst thing, folks. I want you to listen to me very closely, especially those watching my hand. Here's going to be the worst thing one day when you face God. You're going to be given and shown every opportunity that you have to accept Jesus. I believe, no matter if you leave this world not knowing what your name is and you've lost your memory is going to come back to you because God's going to see you, and your memory is going to be your hell. Because you're going to remember every opportunity that you had a chance to accept Jesus. Every single one. And you walked out of here and you said, no, 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 no. Everyone. Everyone. Every opportunity. This Jezebel and all that followed her had an opportunity to turn it around and to repent. Pretty strong people. Look at this. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your word. Yeah. One day, folks, it's going to be life, it's going to be death. And even though the death that you and I think of is not going to be the death of eternity in hell, because you're going to have a presence and know that you're suffering. How long is God, because I truly believe with all of my heart that Jesus is holding the trumpet. Believe me. And when I say that, simply all I'm saying is that's my way of saying the time is upon us. The time is here. The time is now. Everything that should be fulfilled in God's word has been fulfilled. It very well, the rapture of this church could happen in the lifetime of the people in this audience, even if both of us were over. You need to realize that. You need to understand that. The time is at hand to make it right. And you need to make it right. We got a lot of people that need to be in this church. I don't know where they're at or what they're doing. But I'm telling you, they're going to wake up.
Amen.
There's a waking up coming. The alarm is getting ready. The sound.
Amen.
It's coming. Look what it says. Look what it says. And I'm going to give everyone according to their works. Jesus is going to give it. Oh, you got it coming to you. You got it coming. He's going to give it to you. What are you going to give? You going to give grace? Or are you going to give damnation? Either way, it's coming your way. You make the choice. Now look, he says in verse 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest will say of the church, Sotar, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depth of Satan, and I like that phrase, depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none of the burden. I promise you, Jesus is never going to put anything else on you that you can handle. He's saying to those of you who will not follow this teaching, those of you who are truly trying to live your life with Jesus, you attend church, you read your Bible, you pray daily, you're trying to live a Christian life in a world that will hate you for it. You're not going to put anything else on you. And anything that's put on you, you will be able to handle. You will be able to handle. Even in my darkest hour, like everything I touch falls apart, I'm still standing today in front of you preaching God.
Amen. Amen.
He promised me he would allow me to do that until he called me home. No matter what I suffer, no matter what kind of bowl I've got on my foot, no matter what kind of heart trouble I got, no matter what my kidneys do, I'm still standing here before you. And that's not because I'm such a big, strong, muscular man, although I'm a big, strong, muscular man. And I'm not going to kid you.
Sir.
Thank you. I'm not as good as I once was, but I will not put upon you none of the burden. Let me tell you something, that's one of the greatest promises you'll ever find in God's word. No matter what kind of a bad day that you think you're having, I promise you God will see you through it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
But that which you have already hold fast till I come. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the church. Keep coming. Keep giving. Keep doing. Keep praying. Keep studying God's word. Keep on. No matter how hard it gets, keep going. Keep doing. Do not give up, because Jesus will not give up on you. As hard as it was for him to get to Calvary's Hill, he went there for you. I promise you. Let's keep on. Let's keep up. Let's keep moving. Let's keep doing. He that overcometh and keepeth my works until what? What's that saying? To him will I give the power to the nations. He that overcometh and keepeth my works till the end of your life or until the trumpet sounds. God expects you and I, from the time that we accept him as our Lord and Savior, our witness, keep on working on it until we can stand alone. Whatever it takes, keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Now, this is a promise here that I can only take you so deep in preaching, but I'm going to try to make sure you understand something. To him will I give power over the nations. How many people have asked me, what kind of promise is that? Later on, when we get to it, weeks and weeks on down the road, we're going to get into a period of time called the millennium. Have you heard of this? Say amen.
Amen.
This is a pretty deep time. This is going to be 1,000 years in history when the Lord is truly the king over this world. It comes after the tribulation, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on during this time. But let me just try to just make this as simple and short as I can. You don't have to agree with me, but this is what I believe this is. Those of us who are living at the time of the rapture, or those who even die in the Lord, after the tribulation comes the battle of Armageddon, and after the battle of Armageddon comes the second coming of Jesus. We're going to study all of this when we get to it. At that second coming, God's people, those of us who was raptured up before the tribulation, or those who died in the Lord, we're coming back in a new body and a new way. I want a new body. I want a new body. I want a new body.
Amen.
Kevin, do you want a new body? Say amen. 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 That's right. That's right. I want a new body. Lord knows I want a new body. Have I said that enough? I don't want to have to deal with diabetes. I don't want to have to deal with heart. I don't have to deal with sore foot. I don't even want to have to deal with my foot in my mouth. Lord knows. I have to deal with that on occasions. When we come back, and believe me, this is going to be a horrific battle, but Jesus is going to win, I promise you that.
Amen.
We go into what we call this millennial, 1,000-year reign. At that time, I believe God's people are going to help Jesus rule the world at that time. I don't know what kind of job he's going to give me, but I'm going to have some power. Not because of who I am, but because Jesus gives me that. And I may be over a certain group of people. I may be the sheriff in town. I don't know what I'm going to be. But he's going to give me responsibility to keep an eye on things during that time. And that's what this means. If you'll stay to the end faithfully, not everybody's going to have this. I will give you power over the nations, means nations and people. You're going to have a greater role in the millennial power if you're faithful to the end. I know that may well be hit a little bit, but I don't skip things. I'm just trying to tell you, this is truly what I believe. Those who are faithful to him in this life, he's going to give you a lot to be faithful over in the next life. And that's going to be fun, people. That's going to be great. That's going to be wonderful. That's going to be God's way of rewarding his people. Give a little hand of applause. Here's what you're going to do. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And the vessels of the potter shall they be broken of shrivers, I will say, even as I have received of my Father. In other words, you're going to be a ruler over people who are broken, but you're going to give them hope. We're going to be a people of hope. During the millennial time, we're not going to have to deal with Congress, Senate,
Amen.
Iran, I don't, Obamacare. You ain't going to have to deal with none of that, because Jesus will be the ruler, and we're going to represent him. Amen. Holy cow, let it come today, Father. Woo! I can feel the Lord have a problem. No matter how broken we are, one day, I promise you, he will put us all back together. It doesn't get any better now. Do you understand that? Is it coming alive on the page? I want it to come alive on the page for you to see. All right, Bill Lair, let's finish up. Here's fabulous. I will give him the morning star. The morning star is another word for him. Jesus. 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 We're all going to be surrounded by Jesus. And from this forth on, in eternity, he's going to be our king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You will have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Are you listening? Do you understand? The day of repentance is at hand. The days of coming to the Lord is today. It's not tomorrow, because we're not promised tomorrow. If you don't live in the moment and in the day, you got to understand, today is the day of salvation. Are you listening? Do you have an ear? He's saying to this congregation, listen to what I'm telling you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling it to you so that you'll understand. The Spirit is talking to churches then and today. And he's talking to the congregation. He's talking through his word. He's talking through the TV, talking through the internet. And believe me, he's still talking to the preachers of the day. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Now, let me say this to you in closing. Revelation points us out in a lot of different areas. You understand this one thing. This world's not going to get any better. I don't want to bust your bubble, but I want to tell you right now. When Jesus comes back, he says this world will be a mess. Well, I think he ought to come back. It's just about as big a mess as it's ever been. Now, I tell you why people in this country are starting to concentrate more, and believe me, I get more hits on our website when I talk about this kind of stuff. And I'll tell you why people in this country are beginning to see it more and more is because this country is starting to suffer with the rest of the world. You understand? You with me? Listen to me closely. For the last 150 years, this country has never seen what the rest of the world seen. We're starting to see it now. We've got people starving. We've got people that's not going to be able to go to a hospital much anymore and get care. We've got people who are in leaders of this country, they don't know what they're doing next. I promise you, this country is getting ready to suffer. Believe me, that shouldn't be a surprise. But let me say this one thing. Jesus has promised numerous, numerous times in his word, hang on to me, hang on to my word, hang on to the church. I'm coming. You hang on, you be faithful to the end. And I promise you, you will not be sorry. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad you see it, no matter how bad it gets in your checkbook, in your home, in your health, in your family, do not turn against God. You turn to God, you run to God. And I don't care whatever church you go to, whatever you do, you go to a place where they're talking. Jesus is coming. Let's get it right. Let's get it together. Jesus still loves and will forgive. How great can it get? Give the Lord a hand on fire. Chances being given out.
fourth chance is being given out. But the day's coming when the trumpet's going to sound. And my prayer is that everyone that's under my teaching and under this ministry will be ready when that trumpet sounds. Because Lord knows you don't want to be left behind. Jesus, we thank you for your Spirit. Oh, we thank you for your grace. Touch the life of this congregation. And to those who are not here and know to be here, Father, may you put upon them that ability to be here. The consciousness to know they need to be in God's house. Satan is trying to tear the churches up. He's in the last resort of his life. Father, he's winning in so many homes. But I'm thankful for the ones that are here today because he's not winning with these people. They're going to be in God's house. They're going to be serving Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the ability to understand it and to know. Thank you for your grace. Bless these moments. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, Brother Larry, you can start to